Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with the zero, not the O. At Degenerates975.
When did that happen?
He did that yesterday on me. Hey, so far, though, I'm 5 for 5.
I thought you were keeping this one.
I'm going to keep this one.
All right. I feel like adding a number to your thing is that's a recipe for disaster, John.
Mm.
Trying to help you create your brand. I don't know if this is a good idea.
All I know is making it hard on me. Every time I get it down. Yeah. But so far, I'm 5 for 5. I haven't screwed it up yet. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A lot of Baylor. And I apologize for spending the last two segments ranting about something that apparently nobody cares about. So, and that's the problem. No, nobody cares. You even said it. Nobody would buy that.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody cares. They don't care where the media is going or where they're going as a country without a media. So,
which
I'll
is very
shut
strange
up.
To me.
No, it's, yeah. And it can be fixed. That's the problem. It can be fixed. But if nobody cares, what do you do? I feel like a Dr. Seuss character. I speak for the trees. And.
You're the Lorax.
Yeah, nobody's listening. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like I want to do the project just to get it out there for the people who will listen.
Then do it.
But it's an awful lot of work. And, you know.
Yeah. It's a labor of love.
Problem right? is, you got to make a profit on things. That's everything now. We all have to make a profit, right?
That's why people work, usually.
Well, yeah, and that's that too. Well, it is work. But anyway. Sorry. I'm shutting up now.
All right. Thank you.
Somebody says, well, why not cheat and cover it up? Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. And until there's people out there to stop it. And that's why, man, if you guys haven't watched Spotlight yet, you should watch it. That movie was so good. And everything, and that was as on point as I've ever seen in a movie about journalism and what those guys went through to make that story happen. And if you watch that and think that a college can't cover something up, look how many years they covered it up at Penn State.
Yeah.
And it takes somebody like that. And it takes somebody on the inside and somebody that it's happened to have the courage to stand up and say, hey, man, I saw a guy do this. I saw him go to the coach and talk to him and nothing happened. And until that happens, I don't know. Anyway, we will talk Game of Thrones and Banshee today. We'll probably do that next segment. You want to do that next segment?
Whenever you want.
Yeah, but 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, we'll talk TV and naked little people or something now. So
we can talk some Astros today too. I wonder if, I mean, what if the Astros? Who would be safe if they decided to become sellers at the trade deadline? Like, are they, I mean, obviously they're a year removed from the playoffs, but if they started.
Correa, McCullers, Altuve.
So you're saying they could trade Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy, huh?
I wouldn't have said that last year, but.
I mean, you would have never thought.
But you know how pitchers are, too. I mean, they're. If you got a ridiculous haul for him based on what he's doing right now.
Well, what's funny is you probably won't get a ridiculous haul for him right now.
Well, somebody might think, oh, he's going to turn back into Cy Young Keuchel. We can fix him. We have a better pitching coach. We'll give you our top three prospects for him.
They probably do.
They probably do. Oh, well. I mean, ideally, he's still pretty affordable. So, I mean, it would take a pretty big package. Let me rephrase
pretty
that.
Pretty big package.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. It would take a lot. And I don't think I'd trade Giles either right now, because I think you've invested an awful lot into that guy and you need him to turn it around, and I think he will at some point.
Wow. And there's no way you can get back what you've invested
right.
in.
Right. Right. So, anyway. Yeah, I would say those four are where I'd start. Anybody else you called about, I'd listen.
Yeah.
And even George Springer.
I don't see why not. Although he's batting leadoff today. You see that?
Yeah, I see Colin Moran's in there too.
I've never understood that. If you, like Altuve is the one sure thing.
Yeah.
Bat him first, because that means he's guaranteed to get the most plate appearances.
Yeah.
I don't understand moving your better hitters down.
Okay, I'm gonna do 1 minute of hockey. Fred, what do you think is all best right. for the NHL? Both the Sharks and Lightning winning their game sixes and giving us a fast-paced, high-octane offensive cup final, or both the Penguins and Blues winning and forcing game sevens but risking a less entertaining cup final? I think the NHL needs the Sharks and Lightning to light up the cup. The sport needs a lot of goals for the finals. Have you not been watching the Penguins? I mean, they're one of the fastest teams in hockey, and frankly, they've outshot the Lightning. They've been faster. The Lightning have gotten an amazing performance from their goalie and have come up with some really clutch goals, which is what they did all last playoff. I have to tell you, the ratings, if it's San Jose and Tampa, will be zero. Pittsburgh, you need Pittsburgh in there for ratings. If you don't get them, and I think St. Louis would help. That would be your best bet for people actually watching.
For casual fans to watch.
Yeah, now I'd be more
interested. I mean, the NHL, for the most part, with very few exceptions, I mean, when you look at the ratings for the Stanley Cup Finals, ratings are big in the two cities where the hockey happens.
Pretty much, yeah.
And but not great anywhere else.
If you want casual fan to watch, you need stars. You need Sid Crosby. And it's a shame, because, you know what? The Blues have one of the – of course, he's playing like garbage right now, but they have one of the most exciting young players in the game in Vladimir Tarasenko. The Sharks have tons of great players. And Joe Pavelski is playing out of his mind. And I think the most entertaining series would be Sharks and Penguins. But – I think the Penguins win tonight and force a game seven. I just want to see two game sevens, because I'm a hockey nerd, and I just want more hockey, because we're almost out of it. Nick says, if you're going to be the Lorax, you best have a mustache in a few weeks. Yeah, that's true.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to grab two more calls here real quick, and then we'll turn to lighter subjects. Jose.
Hello, sports.
Sports, Jose.
I just wanted to talk about what you were saying about the investigative journalism. You know, I'm going to be going into UT to actually major in journalism, and it's sad. I've been noticing it a lot, that especially with the presidential debate this year, I've noticed it like crazy, that people just take whatever they hear and never actually look anything up. And that audiobook that you wanted to make, like, I don't know, I'd listen to that. It stinks the way things are going. And, yeah, I agree with you on that.
Well, and see, there's a reason I would do as an audiobook too, and not because nobody would read a real book.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the reason I was thinking of doing it as an audiobook, was kind of make the point of where we are. But the truth is, man, it's just, it is unfortunate. And man, if you're going into journalism, good luck.
Yeah.
I that scares me more than anything about the future of our country, more than anything, because when you create a society where people can get away with anything they want to get away with, guess what they're going to do? They're going to get away with it.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number. I didn't talk about your Cavaliers yet.
No, they're in a fight.
You worried?
No. I mean, they won their home games. They lost their road games. It's the first two games they've lost. I'm not going to hit a panic button.
And you know what? The Raptors are very capable of games like that when they get DeRozan and Lowry going.
Yeah.
I still think the Cavs win the series. They're not going to lose at home. But
the Warriors are down 2-1, and I'm not even worried about them.
Yeah. I think it's just At least the series are now entertaining.
Yeah. I'm probably more worried about the Warriors than I am the Cavs. Just because I think, feel like
the Thunder are a
legitimately very good team. The Raptors are, I mean, they're not garbage, but they're not on the same level as the Cavs. That would be a major upset to me.
The thing about the Raptors, they're capable of big efforts, and they're just not capable of enough big efforts, to me, to beat a team like the Cavaliers or the Thunder or the Warriors in a seven-game series. I think they're capable, and I've said before, I think they could jump up and win a game or two, and they did. But I'm not going to be surprised if Cleveland goes home, whacks them, and then goes back to Toronto and finishes it in six. I also won't be surprised if they go back to Toronto and half-ass it and has to go seven, and then they win at home again.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Just a reminder. So at next segment, we'll do Game of Thrones. We'll do Banshee. And then 5:30, we'll have Jerome Solomon, and I'm sure he'll weigh in a little bit on the Baylor situation because he was pretty strong on that in his column today, so we will get back to that. And Game of Thrones at 5:40. I'm not Game of Thrones. Gem of the Day at 5:45. So I'll be curious to get your thoughts on both shows. I will. I finally watched The Last Blacklist that everybody was saying how awful it was, and they're out on it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was as bad as people were saying because I guess I expected that storyline the whole time. I knew they were hiding her somewhere.
I hated that.
I knew. I wanted her to be dead, but... Oh, well, I probably won't watch it again. Although, man, we got our guy from Banshee in there now, so I kind of want to see how he does.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, we'll talk Game of Thrones. So if you have not watched it, well, by now, I don't know what's wrong with you, but if you don't want any spoilers, you're going to have to sit out the next segment, come back at 5:30 for Jerome Solomon, and we're going to take a very quick break.
Before Juan on Twitter, he sent a direct message saying, Fred, he's going to Louisiana for Father's Day, going to go play Texas Hold'em. Which casino do you recommend, and which tournament?
If you want to play tournaments, Couchade is the place to go. They have the best tournament schedule. If you want to play cash, I love the Nugget. It is free money, and LaBerge is kind of the same way. So it just depends on what you're into. But for cash games, I'd go to the Nugget. Nugget first, LaBerge second. If you want to play tournaments, then Couchade, or drive over to Harrah's in New Orleans. Does that help?
That helps.
Okay.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. Law enforcement stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a breath or a blood test. So if your weekends suck because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the test the police gave you. A lot of things you should know about those tests. They're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Police breath test machines aren't even warranted fit for testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results, then destroy the evidence that it checked, making recheck and improving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. It's done by a process called gas chromatography, not the same as medical blood testing. They're not even testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very circumstantial test for alcohol as well. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist, and there's only four guys in the entire state who have earned that title. And what it means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these police blood tests and police breath tests and the science behind it. And he's experienced in doing it in a trial setting. A lot of lawyers will take DWI cases. Very few have trial experience. Gary Trichter has a ton. If you failed the breath or blood test, call Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter. Who don't like what you do?
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
He saw me! The Night King! He saw me!
He touched you.
I don't know, he was close, but...
He touched you. He knows you're here. He'll come for you.
But he can't get in.
He can now. His mark is on you. You must leave, all of you.
Come on, Hodor, help me with the sledge.
Hodor,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
The time has come.
The time for what?
For you to become me.
But am I ready?
No.
No, of course you're not. All right. Before we get to that, Froby says, I've never known a trustworthy media, so it's hard for people to, like me, to miss what it used to be. Actually, it was never trustworthy. I'll save that for 6 o'clock because I want to do some fun stuff for a while. But I'm going to blame myself as much for this as anybody. We'll get back to that. Let's talk about Hodor.
Hodor.
Hold the door.
So I'll be honest. I don't totally get the whole how this Hodor thing happened. So
the whole time travel and him.
I don't like it.
Him impacting the past is confusing.
It's stupid.
It was a very dramatic scene, but when you sit back and analyze it, it's kind of like, wait a minute.
They tried too hard is what it is.
And somebody brought this up with me yesterday. It's like, well, wouldn't somebody have already known how he became Hodor then? Because there were people standing around while he was doing this.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it was powerful, and I thought it was a good scene. My issues, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, I think the Arya storyline needs to either... Something needs to happen there. It's the same thing with her every time they go back to that. She gets beat up by a stick and a girl's not ready.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And even the Dany storyline to me is stale because they're doing the same stuff they did with her before.
Are you maybe like not crazy about this season?
No, I'm enjoying it. I actually think it's been better than you think it has.
Okay.
This episode was the first one where I mentioned this yesterday, it felt like A Walking Dead where there was 55 minutes of nothing and then 5 minutes of wow at the end and everybody's raving about it. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Let's talk about how much time they're wasting.
And even like the Hodor wow, like Hodor is not like, it's not like he's a major player, you know?
No, but I mean, he was the one thing that kind of represented loyalty and goodness in the entire show.
I guess so.
All he did was try to save a kid and do what he was supposed to do. And, you know, he's like a pet.
Yeah.
He's like a big pet. It's like if your dog could say Hodor.
I was more sad about Bran's dog dying than Hodor because I was like, God, they're running
dire
out of
wolf.
Those dogs.
Dire wolf.
Whatever.
We're almost out of dire wolves.
They're running out of those things.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the season so far. I did like the episode. I just felt like it was there's too many storylines. At least the Greyjoy storyline at least was moderately interesting this time. That hasn't been. Yeah, that's been pretty boring too, and they've been doing a lot of that. Realistically, at this point, what I care about is Dany getting her ass back to Meereen with Tyrion and doing what she's going to do there. I care about what's going to happen in King's Landing with the Tyrells going in there, which I guess we'll find out next week. And I care about what happens with the North. The rest of it, it's just not all that interesting. And I mean, that's just me. Some people are into those storylines, but those. To be fair, those are storylines I hated in the books, too.
Okay.
And as I've told you many times, the reason I dislike the fourth book is because it had almost none of the ones that I enjoyed. But I thought it was good. I think it's been a really strong season. There's a lot of speculation that maybe Bran is the Three-Eyed Raven, and that's his future. Which, if that's the case, now I'm completely confused.
Yeah, I just don't understand that whole thing.
Yeah, it's when you start introducing time travel, then you know it's one thing to be an observer; it's another thing when you're impacting it. And to me, that's having been a sci-fi nerd my entire life. Time travel has to have some rules to it, or else it makes no sense. So I haven't seen the defined rules yet, and it's very confusing. But. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a good episode, but it wasn't one of those. I know people were just saying, "Oh, it's one of the best ever." Nah, I thought it was good, and I thought that was a really powerful scene at the end. But once you kind of step back from it and look at it, it's like, I don't know how much sense this actually makes. On the other hand, the conclusion of Banshee on Friday was damn near perfect.
So good.
And I kind of knew deep down that Clay was the one that had whacked her. I kind of saw that. So I wasn't surprised at all. But great fight. The him versus Hood fight had to happen. And I just thought it ended perfectly. And I so wish they would do a spinoff of Job and Hood in New York, off doing Job and Hood things, and just do a different show. Bring Sugar in to help.
Yeah.
Because that would be awesome. But that was one of the better series enders I've ever seen.
That show, that's going to go down as one of my five favorite series of all time. I still think they could have done another season, at least another season. There's just still so much to chew there. But, that show from start to finish, I think, was fantastic.
It really was. I was reading a lot of reviews of it, and almost to a man or woman, whoever was reviewing it, almost all of them said that the devil-worshipping thing made no sense.
No.
And that it was thrown in there for no reason. And they said that the white supremacy thing was a bad storyline. And I disagreed. Like, I like both of those.
Did it seem like Burton was involved with that? Because when he was there in the black hood, didn't you feel like maybe he was into some of that devil stuff?
I think he was just weird, and that was his copycat thing.
Okay.
Because
I was going to say, how did he know exactly how that other guy was killing? And why was he wearing that weird black hood?
Just in case somebody saw him take her.
Yeah.
Because he obviously knew what the devil worshippers were up to.
Yeah.
Since he copied it. But Drugs and Money said no one mentions the origin of the White Walkers. I thought that was pretty cool. But, oh, yeah, the Children of the Forest did that. Whoops. So, yeah, that was I said this yesterday. I'm Team White Walker.
Are you?
Yes. I want the Night's King and the White Walkers to conquer the world.
Okay. I don't know if I'm on Team White Walker.
I wish he had a little more personality. Wish he talked a little more. But when I was saying what Game of Thrones character I'd be, I'd like to be the Night's King.
How many of those White Walkers are there?
Well, I don't know exactly how many White Walkers. There's a bunch of the whites that they've created.
Like those monsters, yeah. The undead
army. Yeah, they're basically zombies. Yeah.
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 I think it looked like there was just four of them, right? And then one of them got blown up.
Well, I don't
but
know.
That's not all of and them one of them in the world, right?
The spear went through one of them.
Right.
I'd hope that's not all of them, because otherwise you're going to have to go create some more.
I mean, but it seems like three of those guys could do a lot of damage. But
I think two of them already died, right? One this season, one last
Jon
season.
Snow, yeah, Jon Snow killed one with
And this season, the last episode, one died.
Mm. Okay. Well, how many are there, though?
Yeah, I'm trying to look this up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jong has gotten as dorky as I have about this. It's pretty funny. Looking up fan theories and everything else and reading the websites and the Watchers on the Wall website. We're nerds.
Yeah, and I mentioned this yesterday, and this entire series could be one of those where, in the end, this is an entire chess match with Bran kind of playing both sides and kind of setting up how he wants things to be run, because he can, if the time travel thing means that he can go back and effectively change everything, like the older Bran could have just basically changed everything to what we know now, and basically when we get to the end, it's where the present time where Bran has made everything what it is and what he wants it to be. So we could be looking at Bran being the most dominant character of them all.
I hope that's not the case, because he's boring.
Well, Drugs and Money theory is a future Bran lives in a White Walker world and goes back to be the voices that drives the Mad King mad. Because the Mad King did hear voices. Yeah, this is getting into stuff that I'm kind of iffy on.
Maybe this whole thing is a disaster. Maybe this whole going off the books thing was a mistake.
Well, that's George R.R. Martin told them the origin of Hodor, and the producers met with Martin earlier, and this is kind of the way that he wrote Hodor. And I'm guessing if he wrote Hodor this way, that means George wanted Bran to go back in time to do that to Hodor.
Well, yeah, he's still very involved in the series. It's just, you know, basically the series has eliminated a lot of characters from the books. So you're going to get to the same ending with maybe some differences there. 409 brings up, didn't Sam kill a White Walker too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's another dead one. I guess it's got to be more than five then. So we'll see. I mean, I still wonder about the whole thing where they're all going to wind up fighting each other and fighting for Winterfell and all this stuff, while my guy, the Night's King, is just bringing his dudes down saying, all right, we're going to take them all out. So, and Sabrine brings up probably lots of White Walkers, because Craster gave all his male incest babies to him. That's true.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 713-780-9755. ESPN's your number. I will miss Banshee. Somebody asked top five shows of all time. It's one of those things I can't determine right now. I'll go back and watch it again. It's going to be one.
It's on my list.
It's going to be my top four for sure, with Sopranos, Deadwood, and The Wire. And I have Breaking Bad just a little bit behind those guys. That's probably my top five. Justified's got to be in there, too. That's my top six. And
it's tough.
I don't know the order. So, anyway.
I just know The Wire and Sopranos are one, two. I'm with you. I think Breaking Bad's in mine, probably. And Justified's probably near the top of mine. I think Banshee's probably my fifth. That's probably my top five. I like Deadwood. It was too short.
Yeah, and they never really finished it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Quick break. We come back. Jerome Solomon will join us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Would you? Behold the King. The King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We'll revisit some of this stuff later as we lead into Jerome Solomon. But best comment so far from Double Down: has Art Briles offered Ramsey Bolton a scholarship yet? And that will transition to our good friend Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, because you wrote a very good column on that topic, and I'm glad somebody's actually addressing it. So good job, man.
Thanks. Ramsey Bolton, that's just wrong. How good of a quarterback would he be? You know, and that's the thing. Well, first of all, this is not a joking matter. It's not anything to be laughing about. So that's out of bounds. But and that's why I did my best to be fair with Art. Obviously, I know him and have a lot of respect for him. It's not about bringing in guys who are, you know, sketchy. It's more about, okay, you bring in a guy who's sketchy, okay, then the guy needs to prove that he's better than he's been. And it's not a two-strike, three-strike. Hell, it's not even a one-strike policy for certain guys that you bring into a program. It's a half a strike. Like, dude, if you even give the hint of messing up, you're out of here. And Baylor hasn't done that. That's the thing. It's like, man, I did a deal with Brian Smith of the Chronicle, and he's like, oh, that's the price you pay to win. I'm like, no, it's not. If he'd run every player off who's been in this situation, that wouldn't cost Baylor any wins, any victories. Not at all. So I'm not buying it that you sell your soul to win. You don't have to sell that particular part of your soul to win. We're talking about women here. That's just ridiculous.
Well, now that Baylor's where they are, and now that at some point Art Briles more than likely was told about this and decided to cover it up, now if you keep Art Briles, are you not selling your soul to win?
You're past that, yeah. You're right. But it's also a thing of, you know, I just believe there's not even the what did he know, when did he know it thing. I don't even think that's legitimate anymore, because we're way past that. So, yeah, you are selling your soul to keep to win. And Chip Brown is one of my good friends and one of my boys. And the quote at the bottom of his deal that he broke today on Horns Digest about, you know, Ken Starr is going to be the guy that is going to be fired. That quote from a source, quote unquote, was just a great quote. It was, well, you fire up Browse, you got a $300, you know, million dollar, whatever it is, mausoleum,
yeah,
as opposed to a football stadium. And it's that's a legitimate point and a legitimate factor. Grant Baylor you know, I'm a Baptist. I was raised a Baptist, and they should be better than that. They really should.
Well, shouldn't any human being be better than that?
They're not.
Forget the Baptist thing. Shouldn't any human being be better than that? Shouldn't any school be better than that?
Oh, no. Come on. They should all be way better than that. But you don't run around. It's like you should be better than you have been in your marriages, Fred, before, as you talked about earlier. But, you know, you ain't never act like you was all that great.
You know what you get. You know what you get with me the second you walk in the door. Come on.
Exactly.
I always say if any time my company displeases you, you only have yourself to blame.
Exactly. But Baylor has been saying one thing and delivering another. Hell, this is, as bad as it was, this is far worse than Dave Bliss. It's much worse. Dave Bliss just tried to funnel some money to some guys.
Right.
Tried to make some people lie to protect the funneling of the money. This is, oh, woman was raped. Let's try to ease on past that. No, there's no easing on past that, dude. And trust me, I'm with the innocent until proven guilty. But just because I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt about innocent until proven guilty, you don't have to remain on my football team. You don't have to remain on scholarship for my football team. You're not a part of my program. I'm going to let you go ahead and go to school because I got you there. I can't do anything about that, and I'm going to give you the chance. But darn that, there's something wrong with you if you're guilty of what you're accused of, and there's certainly a problem with the situation that you've been accused of it, and I'm going to investigate it fully. I'm going to protect both sides. And from what we know to this point, Baylor decided not to protect both sides. They decided to protect the football player, not the woman.
Well, what makes us think they're not going to continue to do that with this alleged report that they don't have to release to us? That if they've already covered this up, why would they tell us the truth now?
I don't think they will. I don't even know if the report will get the full truth. But if it got the full truth, it can't be flattering. It can't be a positive. It has to be, you did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, that wrong. So I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting the worst, and I will be the one to applaud them immediately if they show me that they're better than what I think they are. You know what I mean? Because if you're the type of people or program or institution that allow it to get to this point, I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. Yesterday was horrible, right? So I'm not expecting anything from you from tomorrow. So I will be one of those idiots who go, hey, wait a minute. Yesterday was bad, but at least today they're telling me the truth and they're working on it. I'm just not expecting it.
Jerome Solomon, our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Kind of a different topic here, but I'm seeing a lot of anger on Twitter over media policies with the Bills and what you can report and what you can't. As I recall, last year when the Texans sent theirs out, it was pretty ridiculous, too. Is this something that I don't know if you're as up in arms over this as your colleagues are, but because I don't know how much you're tweeting about, oh, somebody walked off with a busted elbow. But what's your take on all that?
Generally speaking, I just don't give a damn, especially about OTAs. You were around long enough to go. No, nobody even covered OTAs back in the day. It wasn't even important. But now people are like, who looked the best today? This is not even practice. It's practice. It's the practice for the practice. It's not even all that real. And so what difference does it really make if I go, Jadeveon Clowney was limping today? I mean, and he might be 100% by September, but today he's limping. Does it really matter? So, yeah, it's stupid on the team's part to try to tell you, don't tell anybody to, oh, man, Jadeveon Clowney got, you know, undercut today and limped off. It looks serious. Like, duh, it looks serious. Either it is or it isn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I write in the paper. I can write in the paper that, you know, Brock Osweiler's arm fell off today, and he looks like he may never throw a pass. The fact will be either he will throw a pass or he won't throw a pass. So does it matter what I write about it?
Yeah, but isn't this more about people tweeting this stuff out as opposed to you writing a story in the paper, though?
No. The Texans actually said you can't report on it.
Well, people report on Twitter now. They don't report in the newspaper. You know that.
I know, but I'm saying, what I'm saying is, no, their message to everybody is you can't even report on with any speculation about an injury until the injury report comes out. Well, the injury report is not going to come out until the first week of the season. So if I'm watching OTAs right now and a guy walks off the field or leaves the field in an air cast, which means, duh, something's broken. I can't even report that because it's speculation until the injury report comes out. It's silly. Does my reporting change when he'll be back? Does it change when he'll be able to play, when he won't be able to play? Will my reporting about a guy left the field on a stretcher today, will that have anything to do with whether the team wins or loses a game? It doesn't. So it's silly. It's idiotic. It means nothing. And frankly, I don't care because I'm not a fan. So it doesn't matter to me who limps off the field today. I want to know who's going to show up on the field the first day of the season. And, you know, that's part of it. But we're so excited about every little iota. And I'm sure you saw the stuff yesterday of who made the best play yesterday in quote-unquote practice.
Does it really matter? I did not read it because part of the problem is I don't necessarily trust the people who are telling me who made the best plays that they know what they're talking about.
And that's the thing. And we're not allowed to sit there and watch the whole full practice anyway.
Yeah,
so we just you watch a couple plays and you go, oh man, what a great catch. So,
well, yeah,
I could go out there and make a great catch.
Well, and what if you're
make a catch in a game?
But what if you're reaching behind yourself to make a catch and it looks like a bad throw from the quarterback, but you ran the bad route? And if you don't know that, then you're not going to learn anything from that.
You don't learn anything at all except so and so made a great one handed grab. You know how many bad receivers the Texans have had who made great one-handed grabs in practice?
406.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, you know how many great grabs that Jacoby Jones made in practice before he got in the game and dropped easy catches? So it really doesn't matter. But I, like I said, I'm not even upset. So it sounds like I'm giving some vitriol here. It doesn't matter. It's the NFL, though. So people want every little thing. They want to get excited about their team. They want to think their team is going to be great. And the NFL sells it. When you were an editor, you didn't even send anybody out to cover quote-unquote OTAs.
that's not true. We did the last 2 years there.
Exactly.
Because there was demand for it. People want to know what's going on. People want to know when the players were there.
And before that, nobody even covered it.
Mm.
Now you're out there covering it like it has something to do with winning and losing, like it's really important, like it's really significant. And it does make a difference for the team in-house, but I can't watch the Texans in OTAs and tell you if they're going to beat the Colts. You know, whenever the hell they
No, but realistically, it shouldn't be about that. It should be going out and getting stories about some of these guys you don't know and telling their stories because you've got, you know, 90 guys out there to choose from. They're not all going to make it. They're not all going to make it. So you might as well get some interesting stories now and give the people something that way. It's not about news, and you don't need. You can follow their guidelines to do that. Go talk about Rashard Clyatt and how he's. You know, whether or not he's coming back from that injury and whether or not they expect him to be the player he was or somebody like that. There's plenty of stories out there to do. It doesn't have to be reporting.
That's my thing. I have always, because I think it's so meaningless, I always would go out and go, let me try to read between the lines. Let me try to, you know, decipher this coach speak and figure out who's going to be a player. So you go back and find out nobody was talking about Arian Foster. I wrote about him. Like the first day or two of rookie minicamp or the first day or two of OTAs, because I'm like, okay, coach is telling me they like this guy. This guy can play. And so it didn't make me a genius, but, you know, I'm not going to go out there and I'm not going to go to OTAs and write about Andre Johnson, you know, 10 years ago. I know he can play. Well, you know what I mean? But it's the Texans and teams are
let me interrupt because probably this has nothing to do with you because you're not tweeting out stuff like the Jason Braddocks and John McClain are doing. And so it's really more directed at them than it is you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they're harassing guys just for the fun of it. I'm saying. They're doing, it has nothing to do with winning or losing. It had if it affected a win or a loss, I'd be on the coach's side. Whatever you say, like if you really think that, you know, Jason Braddock or John McClain tweeting out about what they saw at practice is going to cost you a win, cool, coach, I'm on your side. But get the hell out of here. That ain't got that. John McClain ain't lost no games for the Texans, not a one. You know what I mean? He hadn't won any games for him. He hadn't lost any games for him. And he won't anytime soon. So Bill O'Brien, they need to back off and not worry about that. Coach your damn team.
All right. Sorry, Jerome. I got to cut you off, man. We're way over for a break. But appreciate you coming on as always, man. We'll catch you next week.
All right, fellas. Later.
All right. Got to tell you guys about attorney Gary Trichter. A lot of reasons not to believe in the police blood testings, whereas medical doctors will test your blood. The police are testing the air above it. There's a good chance your blood sample is going to be contaminated since there's all kinds of chemicals floating around the air in police blood labs. And there's no manufacturer's warranty that the police machine is accurate or reliable for blood testing. If the police were the pharmaceutical business, its blood testing procedures would never pass FDA muster. Police science is not safe science. The police program, they program their machine for blood testing, not the manufacturer. So basically you're leaving the fox in charge of the hen house there. There's no legal presumption that police forensic blood testing works. The problem is a lot of attorneys are afraid to go to trial and fight the science behind it. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state, and he's experienced in telling the truth about these blood tests. You're presumed innocent until they can prove you're guilty. That's your constitutional right, and attorney Gary Trichter wants to defend that. If you failed the breath or blood test, give him a call. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010. That's 713-524-1010. You can visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. All right, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, this one I had last week, but I just had so many good gems that it never made it, but I saved it because it was. I think it's worth it. You can be the judge of that here in a few seconds.
All right.
But Marie Ann Alfrand passed away at the age of 68.
Thoughts and prayers to her family. Twitter thoughts and prayers.
68's not a great run.
68's pretty solid.
It's solid, but it's not a great run. I think 75 and up, you're into a good run. Anything under that nowadays, with medicine being the way it is, 68 is probably not so great.
Where was she from?
She was from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
Well,
I was going to say, because if you're like in the deep south or something.
Virginia's south.
I think Virginia is a place, that's a place where you can, it's more comfortable living there than it is in
Alabama. Mary Ann Alfrand, she's probably of the upper crust of Virginia.
Perhaps.
Anyway. She did have a sense of humor. because in her obituary, it says, faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Marianne Noland of Richmond chose instead to pass into the eternal love of God on Sunday, May 15th, 2016.
Good enough reason.
I would just choose not to vote rather than die. But hey, if you're gonna kick,
don't do that. Vote for Gary Johnson.
If you're gonna kick, though, I appreciate that in your obituary. Don't you just make a joke out of it? Rather than vote for either one of these guys, I'm just gonna drop dead.
That's right.
So anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, well,
you should listen to that the podcast. Joe Rogan does a podcast. I don't usually listen to podcasts, but Joe Rogan interviewed Gary Johnson, and it's literally like 2.5 hours of these guys talking about things that actual normal humans care about. And he just makes so much sense. It's almost disturbing how some of the other candidates aren't getting this. But he's actually starting to poll, pulling at 10% in the two most recent national polls against Clinton and Donald. So I'm telling you, if you think that you're faced with two really awful options, there's a third option there.
There's a fourth option. I can be like everybody else and claim I'm going to move to Canada, but I actually can.
Right.
So, anyway. Well,
I'm not moving to Canada.
Yeah, me either.
I'm just going to deal with whatever crap gets thrown at us.
It's not going to, whoever they elect, it's not going to have any damn impact on us anyway. We need to be more focused on our local elections, but that's another story. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. And some of you still have Game of Thrones questions that we'll get to. So, and then I have one last follow-up to the topic of the first hour. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.